Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Let's get right into it. We're just going to continue into the Casket Empty series, as Pastor Nathan alluded to. Let's bring up that acronym so we can see exactly what we're talking about, because some of you may have been here, may not have been here during this time, but we've been going through the Bible, and we started in Genesis, and we worked our way from creation with Adam and Eve, the beginning with Abraham, and Sinai, kings, exile, temple, expectations, Messiah, and we spent about 3 weeks in Pentecost. And the beauty of Pentecost was that that's when the power of God was poured out. A lot of people, you know, get spooky and get scared when we start talking about the power of God. But if you know anything tonight, the power of God is the X factor. If you want to be great, do something great, you need the power of God to get it done. I've traveled all over the country and all over the world preaching the gospel. And the one thing that set me apart from others is that when I went in there charged, full of faith, knowing who my God was and what my God was about. And I was able to step into things unfearful, full of faith and boldness, and God showed up and he showed out on behalf of his servant as he preached the gospel. And I'm going to allude to a little bit of that tonight, because tonight we're going to be talking about fear. Anybody ever been afraid? Raise your hand. Any scary movie fans in here? I know some of y'all watching movies and then bumping the night, like, oh no, you know. I got three kids, I hear a little bump in the night, I'll be like, man, somebody go down there and check what that is, you know. Come on, Dad, you're the man of the house. Not tonight, you know, it's y'all, so y'all. You know, and so we're talking about fear. Fear. And in Pentecost, the power of God was poured out. And Jesus spoke to the disciples, and the disciples were wrestling, upset, mad, because they didn't understand. They thought when Jesus rose from the dead, it was their time. Jesus said, no, it's not time yet. Matter of fact, I have to leave and have to send something or somebody by the name of the Holy Spirit to come and to do something great inside of you. They were wrestling with God. God got so mad at him, he kind of rebuked him a little bit. It was kind of a low-key rebuke. You ever had a low-key rebuke from a pastor? You know, just kind of like, you know, bro, if you say it again, you know, just low-key. But what he said was this. He said, you know what? You guys need to stop worrying about the signs and the times. Stop worrying about this, that, and the other. Is the moon blood red and maybe Jesus is coming back? Stop worrying about that stuff. What you need to do is you need to get power on your life and go be a witness. And that's what Jesus is speaking to us tonight. Take the power of God and go be a witness. Go do something great, like you heard up here on stage, people going out. Pastor Ron, our senior pastor overseeing us out in India, doing something great. And so here it is, they're in Pentecost, but how many know it started off good, but it got a little rocky along the way. And so the Spirit of God's poured out at Pentecost. 3,000 people added to the church. God's moving, signs and wonders. Man, they're happy, they're full of faith. And all of a sudden, here comes the persecution, because people aren't too happy that these men and women are leaving the synagogues to go be and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not happy. And all of a sudden, persecution arises. And people begin to scatter out of fear. And fear is real. And one of the men that was leading the charge was a man named by the name of Saul. And he changed his name to Paul. Now, Paul's a big deal in the Bible because he wrote in over 2/3 of the New Testament, the epistles, what we're going to learn a little bit about tonight. And as he wrote these scriptures, these letters, excuse me, and he sent them to the churches, because Paul had a big mouth. How many know God likes a big mouth? Raise your hand. See, I love people that are boisterous and kind of crass and, you know, loud and like to do crazy stuff. See, that was Saul. Saul was going around tearing people out of their homes, throwing them in jail because they were believers, followers of Christ. And along the way, God said, I had enough of that, and shines a light on this man, strikes him down, blinds him. Paul can't see. Lord, what? Who are you? What is this going on? And he asked him this question, Saul, Saul. Why are you persecuting? Why are you doing this to our people? I'm paraphrasing. And he tells me to get up, and the man by the name of Ananias is going to minister to you. He's going to teach you some things about me. And as he's being taught, something supernatural takes place. These scales fall off his eyes. He gets this commission to go and reach the Gentiles. The Gentiles will be people like you and I, people that are not born of Jewish descent. And so, you know what? We were a little bit on the outside. And Jesus was going to make a point, because Jesus said, I wanted this gospel not just in Jerusalem or Judea, but I want it in Samaria, and I want it in the utter ends of the earth. And now it's starting to begin. So here goes Paul. Paul, on his first journey, he goes with a man by the name of Barnabas. And him and Barnabas are going around the nations, and they're preaching gospel, and things are happening, signs and wonders. Just like Jesus said to go into all the land and to baptize men and women in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And this is the key money line, teaching them all that I've taught you. There's something about being taught when you become a believer or a follower of Christ. And so here they are, they're going out and they're teaching people, because, you know, when you get born again, you don't know everything. Or when you give your life to Jesus, you don't know everything. Somebody has to teach you how to pray, teach you how to read your Bible, explain to you what this is, the Holy Spirit, explain to you different things. And so as they're going around, there's a little bit of fear that breaks out, because when Paul plants this church, now he's got to leave. And one of the churches that I want to talk to you about tonight is a church in Philippi. And this is a church that was dear to Paul's heart, because this church was very generous. This church was lacking some things. And all of a sudden, as Paul has left, persecution has come to the church. Some people have slipped in through the back door, and they're starting to teach false doctrine. They're starting to teach that in order for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be a Jew. And all of a sudden, finances begin to dwindle in this church. And now fear is coming, because how many of you know when you serve the Lord, it's not always going to be good. And now fear is starting to come alongside and come up in the church. And let me tell you something tonight, fear is real. A lot of times we try to act like, you know, I can faith it or get through it, but fear is real. And now they're a little nervous and scared. And so what do we do right here? What do we need to do as we begin to get fearful, because they're full of fear? God, they send a letter back to Paul, they send a letter to Paul with resources and finances, and this touches Paul's heart. And this is what we call an epistle, a letter that's sending news. And it starts here in Philippians 4:1-9. And this morning I skipped a couple names in here, so I'm going to skip them again tonight too, because I can't pronounce them names. Let me come down, because I can't see, brother, can't see. There we go. Right here it says this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true. You moved it on me. Come on, Izzy. Stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see your dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Let's keep it going. Now, I appeal to you. I'm just going to call him E and the other one S. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace. And I thank God for Kenny, who ministered peace to us during the time of exhortation, because I sensed it as well that there's a lot of turmoil and fear in the souls of men and women. But I'm going to preach tonight and explain to you how you walk through fear, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul ministering to the church. The church is in turmoil. There's fear. And what's happening is, when you start fearing things, what we're doing is we're looking out into the future. And what we're saying to God is, God, you're not big enough. You're not big enough to handle what's coming. And fear begins to grip you and paralyze you. And this church is paralyzed, because now the teaching is going forth and it's being askewed a little bit. Now money's getting low. Now they're getting fearful. Now there's division and dissension in the church. And now they're getting upset, because where there's unity, they command the blessing. But there's no unity. There's discord now. My first point is this, is to focus on the now and not what's to come. Focus on the right now. Focus on the day. The Bible says this in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies, say mercies. That word mercies intertwines with the word grace, never cease. Great is his faithfulness, his mercies, his grace begins afresh each morning. God's grace is sufficient for the day. And what happens is when you look so far out, anxiety will swell upon you. Fear will come upon you, but you got to focus on the day. I tell people all the time, win the day. Wake up in the morning and read your Bible and win the morning. Continue to meditate on the word of God and win the afternoon. Going to bed at night, check back and say, man, I won the day. Grace is sufficient for the day. I can't worry about tomorrow because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I kind of went ahead of what I wanted to say. But you can't focus on the what's to come. You have to focus on what's the now. And there's nothing wrong with planning because so many, oh, pastor, you gave me a free pass. I can just flow through life now. You said not to worry about tomorrow. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is what the Bible says, many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God are going to prevail. And so you can plan all day. I love planning. I love to sit down and, yeah, Monday I'm doing this, Tuesday that. You know, Wednesday this, Thursday, Friday's date night. I let everybody know, don't call me on my Friday. Friday is date night. Don't call me on Friday. Friday is date night. And so I let people know that. So just I'm letting give you the heads up. Friday's date night. And there's nothing wrong with planning. But sometimes God will call an audible. Sometimes we can get in the way of God. I remember a story when I was playing football in the NFL and I got released and I had to go to the CFL. And I had somebody working for me. I had an agent. That's a person that makes calls on your behalf. And I was paying this person a lot of money to do their job. But I got frustrated. I got impatient. And see, impatience, patience is the Christian cuss word. Nobody wants to be patient. Everybody wants it right now. Give me my job now, promotion now, wife now, husband now. I want it now. But sometimes God will push pause and say, you need to wait. But you know, I went ahead of my agent. And I said, you know what? You're not doing your job. I'm going to call everybody. I got on the phone. I started on the East Coast. I called from Montreal all the way out to Calgary and in between. And that's back when cell phones were running about $800 a minute. Yeah, it was a lot. And I'm on the phone with all these people, and I'm going somewhere with this. And so I remember I was frustrated because I called every team. But you know what happened? I got a phone call at 6 a.m. in the morning, and a team from Canada called me and said, we want to sign you. It was a team that I didn't even know was in Canada. It was in Ontario, somewhere near Toronto, which I didn't even know was a team. And so about $1,000 later, because that's what my phone bill was, if I would have waited on God instead of getting ahead of God and being fearful and anxious and getting in the way, man, God would have did something great, because whatever God does, nobody can undo. And you got to let God do it. You got to get out from in front of God and let God just lead you and guide you. So fear is real. Fear will paralyze you and keep you in a spot, and that's what's going on. But God, Paul is telling this church, look, be at peace. And what I love about Paul is this. Paul is teaching them and had been taught that he's content with and Paul is content without. And a lot of people may or may not know, but when Paul was writing this letter to this church, he's writing it from jail. Think about that. He's locked up. He's in prison, probably getting a beating daily, going through some dark moments. But all he can think about is the good things and what God is doing for these people. And he's speaking life and words of encouragement. Why? Because he understands there's peace in the promises of God. And there's no need to worry, no need to fear. It says this in Matthew 6, 33 through 34. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. It's pretty good right there. Everything you need. Seek him first, though. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. There it is. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on the right now. Some of you, man, I guarantee you're already thinking, man, I got this meeting on Tuesday. I got Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. I know I was like, I'm already thinking. I mean, we got meeting in the morning. I'm like, man. And so I'm already like, but God's like, man, just enjoy the right now. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Focus on now. My second point is this, is give it to God. He said this, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind, which is in Christ Jesus. But you go a verse earlier, it says to pray. Is anybody like to pray in here tonight? See, prayer changes things. Prayer and supplication. And see, when you give it to God, what you're saying is the thing that I'm giving over to God, God is big enough to handle it. And what it does, it interchanges the anxiety and brings in the peace. God's got this. There's three types of prayer that I want to just share a little bit about. The first type is that personal prayer. Personal, that's between you and God. Matthew 6, verse 6, it says that when you pray, close the door behind you and go in that room. And you pray in secret. And when you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. There's something about quiet time. There's something about taking this cell phone and setting it aside. Throw it in the other room. When my kids were little, we used to play this game called Hide Daddy's Cell Phone. And I'm telling you, they were good. They were good to the point where I almost had to go. I know I bought at least five phones. I hate this stupid phone, Dad. You know, kicking it, throwing it. Why? Because, man, it was never enough time with them. You know, Jesus is the same way with you and I. Could you put that phone up just for a little while? Don't worry about what's going on the internet. Twitter, you're good. You know, Snapface, Snapchat, you know, just it's okay. It's put it away. Nobody, Instagram, it's okay. Nobody care. Just me and you. And you and me. And this is why it's so important, because when you are praying in secret and it's between you and God shows up in your life in such a way that's supernatural, all of a sudden your faith arises, fear goes, doubt goes, because you know and I know only God could have answered that prayer. Personal prayer is so important. And so many times we get so caught up, I don't have time to pray. I got to do this. I got to do that. But you know what? Anxiety will rise up on you. But when you spend time with God, man, all of a sudden the peace comes. There's that personal prayer. Then there's that team prayer. And when I say team, I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about women and men that you can open up your life with when your back's against the wall and you need to lock in with somebody. And I'm telling you, you need to find a man or a woman like that. That when everything is flaking out, breaking out, quaking out, you can all of a sudden lock arms with him and her and lay hold of this scripture verse in Matthew 18, 19, where two or more are gathered together in my name. There I am, listening in the midst, and whatever you two agree on or others, it shall be done. So you got to have women that aren't catty, that when you open up your life, they're not going to go and all of a sudden, girl, did you hear what happened to such and such? Ooh, her man left her. She crying over. No. You need a woman that said, that's okay. He could have left you. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Men, you need to find another man that you can confide in. And talk about it, man. Man talk. Get real, get open, and get honest. Don't take your clothes off, but take your mask off, because some stuff I don't want to know. And so as I'm praying with that person, and we're locked in, and we're calling on the name of Jesus together, now they're carrying my burden with me. Do you carry burdens for your friends? Do you weep for your friends? Do you cry for your friends? What we call this in this church, we call it a connect group. You better get you one. You better find some people and get in that connect group. And you get in this word and you begin to talk about the word and how you can apply it to your life. And at the end of it, you huddle up and you begin to pray for each other. You know, the reason we have that church in New Jersey was because of a connect group. Because when Pastor Adam was sitting there crying out to God in the connect group, he said, Lord Jesus, I need a building because we don't have one. We don't have a building. But the men around him said, you know what? It don't cost to pray. Y'all didn't get that. See, you always, I don't have this and I don't have that. If I had a little money, but it don't cost to pray. And so he locked in with these men, and we began to call on the name of Jesus. And one of the guys at the table said this. He says, you know what? My reunion is coming up, my high school reunion, and the former mayor of the city will be there. And I think he's in real estate. I'm not for sure. But when I find him, I'll come back and let you know. Goes and talks to him, comes back with the report. Hey, the mayor said, come meet him at his office over here. Matter of fact, the guy that owns this property around here, wealthiest Jewish man. How many Jewish men? He got some money. Own everything. Said, come and meet with him. We go and we sit down and we're just listening. We get to tell our story. We're a church and we're looking to reach this community. You know what? The guy looks at us and he starts tearing up. He's an Auschwitz survivor. And he said this when he's looking at us. He said, you know, I've always wanted to do something great, something good right here in my own community. He says, I'm going to give you this building, this office space over here. You can use that. You can renovate it. You can do whatever you want to do, but don't tell nobody. Because the church is not supposed to be in this building, but I'll let you in here. Wink, wink. I own everything. And you know, there's favor. There's something that came from prayer. You know, that's why we meet where we meet every Sunday morning there in Parsippany, New Jersey. Because of praying in a connect group, getting together. Corporate prayer. We're talking about church prayer. Hebrews 10:25, it says this. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not neglect. Another story of a connect group. Real quick. Two Tuesdays ago, we had a prayer meeting. We call it a healing service. We wanted anybody who was sick to come and pray. Be healed and get laid hands laid on, pray for them. And you got to get this. I'm going somewhere this morning or this afternoon. Now it's this evening. I'm sorry. I'm just all over the place tonight. It's some part of the day. And we're at this connect group. I have this Bible study right up the road here in Helmsley Building. And all of a sudden, man, this guy comes in and he comes in. He's a film guy and he's just going around the table and introducing himself. Because I know you, Pastor Sheen. I remember you. I remember you, Robert. I remember you, Lawrence. These are two film guys. And then at the end, we close and we're like, we're going to this prayer meeting. He's like, I don't have time. I just was at a Bible study, at this Bible study. Last thing I need is prayer. Man, we're going to be praying for the sick. Kind of looked at us. And we're walking from east to west. Man, this dude's walking, gets there. All at the end of it, all the pastors are lined up. The guy looks and he's trying to figure out who to go to. We didn't know what was going on, and he begins to point out who. Next thing you know, he gets moved down. Pastor Bruce, nah. He goes all the way down, and it is Bruce, and then it's a doctor. And the guy goes to the doctor, and he goes, man, I've been having blood issues. I've been bleeding, and I've been so fearful because my grandfather died of colon cancer. And I'm afraid to get a diagnosis, and I need to go see a gastrologist. And guess who he's talking to who's a gastrologist? Was Dr. Ugo right there. And he says, bro, God answers a mighty way. That's what I do. And so these two linked up. And what I'm saying is this. The thing that you run from, the thing that you're afraid to do, is the thing that'll bless you. See, people run from the church, run from the connect group, run from the things of God. But I promise you, when you encounter him, he encounters you and miracles happen. That man could have went home, but God had the answer sitting right there in the house of God. Fear. You know, all fear is a wrestle. It's a wrestle. It's a wrestle. Let us not neglect meeting together. Number three, protect your mind and your heart. Because he said, with all else, guard your heart and your mind. Why guard the heart? Why guard the mind? Because of this. The enemy's war and the battle starts in the mind. And when fear comes, it always comes with a thought. You're going to be just like. It's going to go down just like. But you have to be careful to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. And you got to know the difference between a lie and truth. See, God's word always lifts. It never condemns. It convicts, but it never condemns. And when the enemy's condemning you, saying you're going to be just like, or it's going to go down just like in your job, or you're going to really have this happen, man, that's a thought that I need to take captive and cast down because it's bringing fear. They're thinking the worst in this church, man. It's going to be bad. But you know what? If I guard my mind, if I guard my heart, see why the heart? Because with the heart, one believes. And from the heart comes the mouth. And what happens is, man, when your heart gets bitter and you get angry, how many know you can curse yourself? You can say things out of your mouth that you don't want to say, husbands and wife. Can I get a witness? You try to, I didn't mean to say it, it's too late, it's already out there. And so what happens is I have to protect this. I got to guard this. Why? Because when I guard the heart and I guard my mind, peace comes. Because that's the battlefield of the enemy. And I tell people this, all faith is a wrestle with doubt. It's a wrestle with doubt. I have to wake up and I got to choose either I'm going to believe or I'm not going to believe. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is for you and not against you. And that God is with you. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, fear is real. I've experienced fear at the highest level. My son was born, well, he wasn't born yet, and I had to sit down with a doctor, and the doctor looked me in my eye, and this is what he said, I don't know if your son's going to make it. Now, how many know that's not a good something to get? What do you mean you don't know if he's going to make it? Well, talk to me, doc. Well, about 3-4 months into this thing, probably not. I don't know. We'll have to see. Every Monday, you need to come and sit here in my office, and I got to make sure and check and see what's going on with the little man right there. But you know what I did, Pastor Nathan? You know what I did, Pastor Bruce? I took it to the Lord. And I said, God, children are a gift from God. I began to quote promises. I said, Lord, children are a gift from God. They're a heritage from you. Lord, you didn't give me this child, get this thing started, and all of a sudden it's going to break down. But even if he doesn't make it, I'm still going to give you praise because you're worthy. You're worthy, God. And so then I began to dig around and got on the phone, and I began to call my friends. I said, look here, man, the doctor said this, but I know the real doctor. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's the chief physician. And I began to call on him with my brothers, with my sisters. It started out with 3 and ended up with 40. And next thing I know, I got 40 men, 40 women calling on Jesus day and night for my son. And you know what? The blessing of the Lord fell upon this little boy. And he made it all the way, full term, to the point where I had to go and get him out. Come out of there, boy. Get out of there. It's time to come out. Fear. See, when fear hit me, the thing that I knew to do was run to God. When fear hit, the thing I knew to do was run to my brothers and sisters. Because if you want to make it, you better find people that have faith like you, that believe like you believe, that'll open up this Bible and say, that's not what the word says. That's not what our God says. You got to have men and women like that in your life. And I'm closing with this. You got to remember, because he said to meditate on what's pure, what's lovely. Think of these things. Why is meditation so important? Because you have to go back sometime to remember what the Lord your God has done. See, if God could take care of you back in 2017, he can take care of you in 2020. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the storms break out, when things break out in your life, the wind and the waves and the storms are hitting, and all of a sudden you're starting to look to the left and look to the right, you have to remember one thing, and bring up this slide. You have to remember one thing, and I hope it comes up, because if not, it's going to end bad. Is it behind me? Right here. When you feel you're drowning in life situations, don't worry, your lifeguard walks on water. He walks on water. Your God is able, when you feel like you're drowning in fear, doubt, unbelief, and anxiety, it's like, man, let me come down here and get you and pull you up and out and set you right here beside me, because I'm a good father, I'm a good daddy, and I love my children, and this is not who I'm calling you to be. I got you. If there's anything you hear me say tonight, is that God has you. See, when Kenny was exhorting you, I was sensing the same thing. You're projecting so far out, and you're allowing the enemy to paint a picture of this is how it's going to be, and you've taken God out of the equation. But tonight I'm asking you, let the God that walks on water, let the God that parted the sea, let the God that raises people from the dead, Let the God that spoke the world into existence by the breath of his mouth, let him step into your situation and turn it around. Tonight, give it to God. I'm going to pray over you tonight. And my prayer is that God would break a spirit of fear off your life. A spirit of doubt off of your life. Because that's not what God wants. It's not his best for you and I. And why break fear and why break doubt? What is that going to do? What it does is it causes you to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, I thank you. As I think about this church in Philippi, when the shaking and the quaking began to happen, they went back to a scripture verse that said this: the work that you began, you're going to bring to completion. God, you started a work in men and women in this room, and the enemies lied to them, bringing fear and doubt and unbelief. And God, I believe and I know that you're going to bring things to completion, because whatever you start, you're going to finish. And so, Father, I thank you tonight. I give you praise tonight. Lord, I break in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ a spirit of fear. God, I thank you that it will not end like it was for their mother, their father. God, I thank you that, Lord, that cancer, that heart disease, that thing that keeps plaguing them, it's going to happen to me just like it happened to them. I break it tonight in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that, Lord, the job that you've given people, the things that you've given people, no man can take it from them. You're the provider. And so, God, I thank you. As your word says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven over each man and each woman tonight, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.